Welcome to Divine Inspiration by Dantisha James. Today we're going to talk about self-care. Self-care session two. As moms and wives, we give emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically day in and day out. We are human beings trying to take care of our people, but we need to find a way to practice take care of ourselves and know that God permits us to do so. Are there people out there who misinterpret self-care and turn it into so much self-focus that they become selfish? Yes, for sure. So let's not do that. The Bible is clear about God's love and care of his creation, which is us. That's why it's important to me to share with you self-care. So let's get into this. When we are vulnerable, is it easy for Satan to attack us? Let me read that sentence again. When we are vulnerable, is it easy for Satan to attack us? Let's get into the Word of God. Let's see what the Word of God is saying. I love the Word of God. So let's go into 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to read verse 8 through 9. And the Word of God says this: Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So lions attack sick, young, or in straggling animals. They choose victims who are alone and not alert. Peter warns us to watch out for Satan when we are suffering or being persecuted. If we are feeling alone, weak, or helpless and cut off from the other believers, if you are so focused on your troubles that you forget to watch for danger, those are times when you are especially vulnerable to Satan's attacks. During times of suffering, seek other Christians for support. Keep your eyes on Christ and resist the devil. Then says James, he will flee from you. And so let's look at this next question. Is God concerned for your body in your soul? Yes, I asked you that question. Is God concerned for your body in your soul? Let's look at the Word of God. So let's go into 3 John chapter 1, and we're going to read verse 2. So it says this: Dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. You hear that? Let me read that scripture again. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. And it says this: Dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. God's provision and intention that we as believers in Christ be healthy and our lives be occupied by his blessings. He wants all to go well with us, that our work, our plans, our purpose, ministry, families, etc., go according to God's will and directions. God's blessing through redemption in Christ are intended to meet both physical and spiritual needs. Concerning prosperity, both physical and spiritual scriptures teaches the following. The word here translated prosper literally means to have a good journey, to be led along a good road. It does not mean the same as the world. The world look at prosperity with a big house, how much money you got in account, how many cars you got. No. For us, as prosperity biblically means a good journey and to be led along a good road. So John's primary prayer was that as we walk in truth of his revelation, we may continue in Jesus' provision of abundant life. God is concerned for both our body and our soul. As a responsible Christian, we should neither neglect nor indulge of ourselves, but care for our physical needs and discipline our body so that we are best for God's service. Let me say that sentence again, because it's very, very important. I think it's two sentences. Let me say it again. God is concerned for both our body and our soul. As a responsible Christian, we should neither neglect nor indulge ourselves, but care for our physical needs and discipline our body so that we are best for God's services. Let's look at this. To experience God's peace and freedom from anxiety, what should we do as believers with our minds? To experience God's peace and freedom from anxiety, what should we do as believers with our minds. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's go into Philippians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verse 8 and see what the Word of God says. It says this: finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. And to experience God's peace and freedom from anxiety, believers must fix their minds on those things that are true, noble, right, pure, etc., not on the things on the TV of the world, the social media, gospel. No, we're supposed to fix our mind what is true, what is pure, what is noble, what is right, etc., for we won't have to worry about the cares of this world to bog our mind with fear and anxiety, because our God is much stronger if we focus on Him. So if you do these things, says Apostle Paul, the God of peace should be with you. The consequences of fixing our minds on the unholy things of the world is that the joy of God's nearness and peace are lost, and our hearts are no longer guarded. What we put into our minds determine what comes out in our words and action. That's very important. Let me say that sentence again. Let me say it slowly. What we put into our minds determine what comes out, comes in. I mean, we have what determines what come out in our words and our actions. So whatever we put in our mind is going to come out of our mouth with our words and our actions. Above all, read God's word and pray. Ask God to help you focus your mind on what is good and what is pure. It takes practice, but it can be done. See, with God, all things are done. All things are possible. But with God, it's impossible. So we got to ask the Lord, with the power of His Holy Spirit that lives in us as believers, for us to focus our mind on what is good, what is pure, what is truthful, what is holy, what is righteous, what is lovely, what is admirable, what is true, what is noble. He said, brothers and sisters, keep our mind, our thinking on that. So let's keep going on. In Christ, we have all benefits of knowing God. Is that true or false? In Christ, we have all benefits of knowing God. Is that true or false? So let's go into Ephesians chapter 1, and I'm going to read verse 3. And the Word of God says this: praise be to the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And so, yes, we do have the benefits of knowing our God, who has blessed us in the heavenly realm with every spiritual blessings, means that in Christ, we have all the benefits of knowing God, being chosen for salvation, being adopted as His children, forgiveness, insight, the gifts of the Spirit, power to do God's will, the hope of living forever with Christ. Because we have an intimate relationship with Christ, we can enjoy these blessings now. The heavenly realms means that these blessings are internal, not temporary. The blessings came from Christ's spiritual realm, not the earthly realm. You heard that? The blessing that we receive from Christ is eternal, not earthly realm, okay? So do you concentrate on those desires that will keep you on the right path? Let me say that sentence again. Do you concentrate on those desires that will keep you on the right path? Because if we don't concentrate on those desires that keep us in the right path, we get sidetracked like sheep. That's why God calls us sheep and He's our shepherd, because it's easy for us to get pulled away. It's easy for us to get distracted. It is easy for us to do our nature of sin and wickedness. That's why it's focused our mind upon Him, and He turns our mind and our desires to be more like Him and less of ourselves, because that's what we did when we got baptized in the water. We died to our old life and we were risen up to the new life in Christ Jesus. But if we don't do our work with using the words and use the words and applying it to our life, reading His word, studying His word, meditating upon His word, worshiping Him, praying with Him, and having an intimate relationship with Him, we can't change. We can't change just because we go to church on Sunday, or go Bible study on Wednesday or Friday, whatever we do. We got to know our Father's word. That's what changes our, that's what renew our mind. That's what change our thinking. My God, let's keep going on. And so let's get into the Word of God. So we're going to go, so that was my question. Do you concentrate on those desires that will keep you on the right path? Let's go to Proverbs chapter 4, and I'm going to read verse 23. And it says this: above all else, guard your hearts, but everything you do flows from it. Our heart, our feelings of love and desires dictates to a great extent how we live, because we always find time to do what we enjoy. King Solomon tells us to guard our heart above all else, making sure we concentrate on those desires that will keep us on the right path. Make sure your affection pushes you in the right directions. Put boundaries on your desires. Don't go after everything you see. Look straight ahead. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus Christ and on your goals, and don't get sidetracked on detours that leads to sin. Because like I said, we can get sidetracked, and we don't need to be sidetracked. We need to focus on our Heavenly Father in His words and get around brothers and sisters who's really living the life. Not saying I'm a Christian and still act like a heathen Monday through Saturday. No, no, no. We need to be around people who's truly living that life. Not just by our words, but by our actions too. Let's keep reading on. We read in scriptures about their heart and heart that refuses to do what God commands. The heart that is yield to God. The heart that desires to receive from the Lord, the heart that is turned towards God's statutes, and the heart that wants to do something. All of these activities take place in a human will, in our own will. God gives us a free choice of which way we want to follow. We're going to follow the devil, or we're going to follow God. We can't have one foot into the world and one foot into church. Okay, we got to make up in our mind of which one we're going to follow, because God hates lukewarm. He doesn't hate the person, but He hates lukewarm, because you can't serve two masters. You got to make up in your mind to which one you're going to, which one you're going to follow and which one you're going to lead. And I hope and pray that you let God lead you, because the world's going to go to hell. The evilness is going to go to hell. The darkness is going to go to hell. Wickedness is going to go to hell. Satan, Jezebel, Lucifer, all the wickedness against God is going to go to hell. The lake of fire of hell. So I pray and I hope in the name of Jesus Christ that you choose to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and get your mind back renewed into His word, repent of your sins, and get back with Him and have a relationship with Him and stick to it. Stick to it. We are so want something so easy, so comfortable. I cease this cushion. Oh, we bid $1 million or $1,000 and nothing happened. No, 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 no. Nothing that comes to our life is going to be easy. And if it is, it's a problem, because that's a cheap way out. So let's keep going on. Is a woman weaker than a man? Is a woman weaker than a man? Yes, that's my question. So let's go into 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. It says this in the word of God. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives, and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as a heiress with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So when Peter says that women may be weaker than men, he was not implying on morale or intellectual or servitude, but he was recognizing women's physical limitations. Women in his days, if unprotected by men, were vulnerable to attack, abuse, and financial disasters. Women's lives may be easier today, but women are still vulnerable to criminal attack and family abuse. And in spite of increased opportunities in the workplace, most women still earn considerably less than most men. And the vast majority of the nation poor are single mothers and their children. A man who honors his wife as a member of the weaker sex will protect, respect, help, and stay with her. He will not expect her to work full-time outside and full-time in the house. He will lighten her load wherever he can. He will be sensitive to her needs, and he will relate to her with courtesy and consideration, insight, and respect. So remember, God works with unity. God wants us to take care of ourselves, self-care, so we can take care of our loved ones. And if we are in marriage, we're supposed to respect. They're supposed to respect one another, and husbands don't want to neglect their wives because their prayers will not get answers. And wife does not want to disrespect her husband because her prayers will not get answered. So we got to live the life that God has created us to live on this earth. And we don't have no excuse because God has sent his begotten son, which is Jesus Christ, to bring us back to him and to unite to him, to do his will, to do his commands by his help of the Holy Spirit. So thank you so much for listening to Divine Inspiration. God bless you. Bye.